And she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Cain and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you must master it." Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Do you enjoy making decisions? Do you really enjoy making decisions? Or how readily do you make decisions? When there is a decision to make, do you put it off until the very last minute or after the last minute? How readily do you make decisions? What is the quality of decisions that you make? When you finally make the decision, what kind of decision do you make? Are you known for making good decisions? Are you a person that makes quality decisions, decisions that bring about a desired, progressive, favorable result? Are you afraid to make decisions? Are you really afraid? Do you shift it off onto someone else? Or do you do a survey? You'll ask 30 different people, what would you do before making a decision? Are you afraid making decisions? Have you made some bad decisions? Some decisions that you are now regretting. And you're saying, "I wish I had never made that decision like that." Are there some decisions that you have made that you are now agonizing, that has placed you at a significant disadvantage, and your quality of life has been significantly changed for the worse because of the decision that you made? Are there some people who are experiencing unnecessary agony because of decisions that you have made? What's the quality of decisions? Have you made some bad decisions? Why did you make the bad decisions? Why did you make a decision that was of poor quality? Why did you make that decision? Listen to some communication between me and my cousin a couple of years ago. On December the 23rd, 2013, at about 3:47 p.m., she sent me a text message that said, "Hello, cuz. Just wanted you to know that I'm getting married on Saturday, December the 28th, 2013, at 1 o'clock p.m. Now, my cousin is about my age. On Friday, December the 27th, 1 o'clock p.m., I noticed a Facebook message. The Facebook message says, "Hello, Facebook family and friends. Because of an unexpected situation, the wedding has been canceled. No more information given at this time. So later that evening, I sent her a text message. I said, "Cuz, how are you? What's up?" An hour later, she sent me a text message that said, "Not getting married. He disappeared in my car. His family is looking for him now. Just glad it happened before I said I do. I will talk to you tomorrow. I haven't had sleep in over 24 hours." When I talked to her, I said, "How in the world could you have been making such a bad decision? How could that have happened?" But much more important is, what is the solution? Now, we could spend the rest of the day analyzing her decision and talking about how awful it could have been, but that really doesn't help us at all. What really helps us is to gain a perspective for the decisions that you and I will be making. I'm going to give you the heart of the message, three short points. I think they'll be on the overhead. But I have to have an engaging audience, so you have to talk back to me. Now, next week when Brother Branch preaches, you shift with him, but you're going to have to shift with me today. Is that okay? All right, now they responded over on this side, but I didn't hear anything going over on this side. Now, I only have a 20-minute sermon. But if I have to wait until you respond, I don't know how long it's going to last. So do not leave and say, "I preached a long time." Say the church was slow in helping him with his sermon. All right? All right. Now listen to this. Never make a permanent decision based upon a temporary feeling. Let's say that together. Never make a permanent decision based upon a temporary fear. Now, here is the second thing I want to tell you. Never make an eternal decision based upon an earthly thought. Let's say that together. Never make an eternal decision based upon an earthly thought. Now, here is the solution to all of that dilemma. Make permanent, eternal decisions on the basis of the principle of faith. Now, let's say that together. Make permanent, eternal decisions on the basis of the principle of faith. Now, that's the sermon. That's it. That's it. That really is the sermon, but you can't leave yet, but that's the sermon. Because see, I've told you something, but I have not shown you the biblical support for that. See, when you make an eternal decision based upon an earthly thought, you will then make a permanent decision based upon a temporary feeling. And whenever you make a permanent decision based upon a temporary feeling, not only do you mistreat God, but you mistreat some individual. Now let's go in the Bible and see this. We're going to look at the situation of Cain and Abel, because that story illustrates the point that I'm trying to get you to see today. Cain made an eternal decision based upon an earthly thought. The text says, the King James said, during the process of time in the book of Genesis. Now, other translations will say, during the course of time. Now, let me tell you how we said that in Tennessee, in West Tennessee, where I came from. he got around to it. Yeah, everybody's got too many round to it. Now, notice what happened. In the course of time, in the process of time, literally it meant in the end of day, after he had finished everything that was on his priority list, he then got around to giving an offering to the Lord. Now, here is how the Lord operates. He requested a tithe of his people. A tithe not only was 10%, it was the first 10%. So with Cain, he finally got around to giving something to the Lord. And the Lord had no regard for his offering. His eternal decision was based upon an earthly thought. Cain, where'd you get the idea from that you can give the Lord an offering whenever you get around to it? He just thought it up within himself. So he made an eternal decision based upon an earthly thought. When you do that, you will make a permanent decision based upon a temporary feeling. Now, Cain murdered his brother. How many of you have brothers and sisters? All right. Now, how many of you have been mad enough at them to kill them? We're going to pray for you all. How many of you have ever had a fight with your brother or sister? So what were you fighting for? You were trying to hurt them. But now guess what? The good news is, whatever level of anger you had then, you no longer have it. Guess what? Your anger was temporary. So when you hit your brother, you made a decision based upon a temporary feeling. And guess what? Now that feeling no longer exists. Now what would have happened had you murdered your brother? It would have been a permanent decision based upon a temporary feeling. And then guess what? You would be now living the rest of your life with deep regret. Because you made a permanent decision based upon a temporary feeling. Now let's notice Abel on the other side of the coin. Abel made an eternal decision on the basis of the principle of faith. He did not make his decision based upon a temporary feeling. He did not make his decision based upon an earthly thought. But he made his decision based upon the principle of faith. That's why he's listed in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. And the Bible says that though he is dead, his blood, his faith still does what? Speaks to us. So he made an eternal decision based upon the principle of faith. When you do that, you can then make permanent decisions, not on the basis of temporary feelings, but on the basis of the principle of faith. So now, what is it that we do? We make permanent decisions. Never make them on the basis of temporary feelings. Never make eternal decisions on the basis of an earthly thought. But rather, you make permanent eternal decisions on the basis of the principle of faith. Now, let's bring this lesson all the way down to practical experience, and then we'll be through. I want you to think about the most recent significant decision you have made. Was it this morning? Was it after you arrived here? Just this morning, I do life coaching for people all over the nation, all over the world, really. And just this morning, I have been coaching two sisters, not biological sisters, but they are sisters in the body of Christ. And in the past week, they have parted company. They have been very close. As a matter of fact, they have been so close, people call them twins. But something transpired. And I have been trying to get them to don't end your relationship. Don't make a permanent decision based upon a temporary feeling. I am not failing to legitimize how you feel. The way you feel is the way you feel. It might even be legitimate to feel that way, but guess what? Next week, you won't feel that way. So I want you to think about the most recent decision that you've made. How many of you all do make decisions over here, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you don't make decisions for yourself, then somebody else will make them for you. So you need to get in the habit of making decisions for yourself, because I found out that when I make decisions for me, I tend to make better decisions than when other people make them for me. But now, if you don't make the right decision, somebody else will be making them for you. So I want you to think about what's one of the most recent significant decisions that you make? Anybody here getting married before the end of the year? Nobody's getting married before the end of the year. Okay. Can't use that. Anybody changing jobs before the end of the year? Can't use that. Anybody going to start saving money before the end of the year? Oh, man. What am I going to use for illustrations in here? But I want you to think about the most recent decisions that you have made. Now you got that decision in your mind? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to reevaluate that decision. Whatever that decision was, did you make it on the basis of a temporary feeling? Did you make that decision on the basis of an earthly thought? What was the basis for that decision? Did you make that decision on the basis of the principle of faith? See, the Bible says that we live, we walk by faith. You know what it means to walk by faith? It means to make your daily decisions on the basis of faith. It doesn't mean to hold a Bible in your hand and say, I've been baptized and I went to worship on Sunday. It means that every day you micromanage your life making decisions on the basis of the principle of faith. So what was that last decision? Well, my last decision, I wrote a check at JCPenney's. Was there money in the bank? Not on the principle of faith. See, the principle of faith will help you out everywhere. So that last decision. Now I want you to think, what is the next most important decision that you have to make? Now some of you have to run out here today and make a decision. You have to make some major decisions of what you're going to do. Some of you have to make some decisions relative to your children. Am I going to let them keep staying in my house and doing what they want to do? Am I going to put them out? Am I going to pay their utilities another month? I'm going to let them sit in the cold. What am I going to do? You have major decisions to make. Major decisions. Am I going to take this job? Am I going to take another job? Am I going to forgive today, or am I going to wait till next Sunday before I forgive? Some of you got some major decisions. Here is what will simplify making that decision. Move your feelings out the way. Move your thoughts out the way. Because I heard somewhere one of the writers said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That my thoughts are significantly higher than your thoughts. So the quality of his thoughts are better. So we ought to use his thoughts. Make that decision on the basis of the principle. principle of faith. Now, when you start making decisions on the basis of the principle of faith, here's some things you'll begin to notice. You will begin to make decisions that you never regret. You never regret. Because you made the best quality decision you could have made. When you start making decisions based upon the principle of faith, you will discover that you will stop have to asking people to forgive you so much. Because you will stop bruising and abusing people when you begin to make decisions on the basis of the principle of faith. You'll have to stop saying, "I'm sorry," so much. Now, say it when you need to, but what I'm saying is stop needing to. Make decisions on the basis of the principle of faith. And faith will guide you to make a better quality decision. And then the result will be so much more. Never make a permanent decision based upon a temporary feeling. Never make an eternal decision based upon an earthly thought. Make all of your decisions on the basis of the principle of faith. You have now come today to this assembly. Some of you have come with things heavy on your heart because decisions are facing us. You're going to have to make decisions. As a matter of fact, decisions is just an integral part of the lifestyle that we have been forced to live. As a matter of fact, the amount of money that you make on your job will be determined by your ability to make decisions and solve problems. If you're unwilling to make decisions to solve problems, you will never make much money. But people who are willing to make decisions to solve problems, that's why the employer hires you. They have a problem that you can solve. So if you're sitting around on your job not solving problems, eventually somebody's going to find it out and you're going to be gone. Because the only reason Kroger needs you there is they have a problem. They have people who want to buy groceries, and they have nobody to check them out. But if there are no customers, then guess what? They will let you go. So if you're working at Kroger, you ought to be nice to the customers. Every customer you ring up, you ought to say, "Please come back and shop with us again." Because if Publix get all of your customers, you're going to be over at Publix asking for a job. So you have to make decisions. You don't have to make decisions. You have to make decisions whether or not you're going to be obedient to the Lord. You have to make decisions whether or not Jesus is going to be your Lord in Christ. Or whether you're going to continue to live for your selfish self. Jesus came and lived on earth to live that he might provide an example for us. He interacted with all type of adversities, giving us a model of how to deal with people. Listen, if you will learn from the lifestyle of Jesus, you can make some quality decisions. Sometimes Jesus didn't say anything. He just listened. That's a good way to make a decision sometimes. Sometimes Jesus made a decision not to answer the question, but to ask a question. That's a good way to make a decision sometimes. All right? And so you got to make a decision. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He's come. He's made salvation possible. And now he invites you to have a saved relationship with him. That's amazing, isn't it? That the Son of God wants to have a relationship with you. That's why he invites you to come. Have you ever noticed that when you invite someone to your house, you tell them when to come? The one that's invited does not set the criteria. So Jesus is inviting us. He tells us when to come. And guess what? He always says, now. 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 Now, if you invite me to your house on Tuesday, and I say, "Well, I'm coming on Tuesday. I'm coming on Wednesday." What do you think? You come on Wednesday if you want to. That's not when I told you to come. You'll be eating leftovers, and I'll leave them on the porch for you because I won't be here. So he's inviting you to come. And he's inviting you to come so that he can make a significant difference in your life. He doesn't have a selfish motive. He doesn't have an ulterior motive. He's inviting us to come, participate with him. Somewhere I read, one of the writers said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Listen, he wants to give us rest. He wants to give us rest of the agony that we go through, even in the decision making that we have to make. He wants to help us to make better decisions. He wants to help us to make decisions without having to go through the emotional and mental turmoil that we're having to go through. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Listen, he has a rest for us. But it all starts with us coming. You come by believing that Jesus Christ is the resurrected Savior. You come by repenting of sins, confessing him to be Lord and Christ, and being baptized in water, and that for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, he canceled out your debt of sin. He looked at you as if you have never told a lie, if you have never made a bad decision. He looks at you as you are free from sin. Isn't that a wonderful way to be looked at? I mean, if you ever finally paid off a bill, you just felt better after you had that paid statement in your hand. Listen, he wants to forgive you. You're living under the burden of sin unnecessarily. And he invites you to come and get removed from that unnecessary load. Make a decision. Make a decision to respond favorably to his invitation. And when you do that, then the Lord will walk with you wherever you go. Whatever the decisions you have to make, here's what I do know, that the nature of the decision may not change. You may have a loved one who's on life support, and you've got to make a decision as to whether or not you continue it or discontinue it. That's a hard decision to have to make. I stood at the foot of the bed and made a decision like that, participated in making a decision like that for my brother. That's a difficult decision. But here's what I want to tell you, that if you make that decision and the Lord is standing with you, it's a lot easier to make. So I don't know what decisions you're going to have to make when you leave here, but the one thing that I do know, that whatever decision you have to make, if the Lord enlightens your understanding, you will make a better quality decision. So whatever it is, you're going to be better off if the Lord's with you. Now, you may have made decisions, and you may be good at making decisions, and you may have made some great decisions, and you're saying, I don't need the Lord to help make decisions for me. Listen. Up until this point, you may have been able to make all of the decisions for yourself without any assistance. But there is a decision that will be made, and you're going to need the Lord's help. Because there's going to be a judgment when we're going to stand and face God. And we don't understand how to speak God's language. We're going to need an advocate. You're going to need someone to say and someone to plead our case. And Jesus wants to do that so that you can hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that all starts today with you making better decisions. All parents want their children to make better decisions. The number one problem you have with your children is they just don't make good decisions. What you're trying to do is to get your children to take your wisdom and make bad decisions based upon your wisdom. Guess what? God wants to tap you on the shoulder and say, that's exactly what I'm trying to get you to do, to take my wisdom and make your decision. And when you do that, your quality of life is better. If you need to make a decision to be obedient to the Lord, to be baptized today, in just a moment, we're going to be standing and singing a song of encouragement. But if you simply need to make a decision to make better decisions, then make better decisions. Do it right now as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.